Hey there, and welcome to Soul Church. Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life. We've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com. Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Who enjoyed the start of the series last week, recognizing the times? And we're going to jump in. This is a five-part series we're going to jump into. I'm going to be speaking tonight. I've asked Steve to speak this morning. It's going to be, I've already heard it. It's a phenomenal message. But before each message, we've been on the streets of Norwich talking to the locals about what they think is happening in our world and getting some of their responses. And this week is brilliant, as usual.
In the current times that we're in at the moment, what does it make you think or feel?
The world is it's upside down, and to make it stable, it's very difficult.
I think the war's pretty bad.
It's bad, but like it's out of my control. There's nothing I can do.
I think it's becoming a really worrying place. And to be honest, I think when I was young, we had a much better time of it. When I was young, the main thing was drink, but apart from that, you didn't seem to get all the problems in the world what the people are at the moment.
Any sensible person will look at scripture and say, God is right.
Have you ever been to a church?
Yes, I grew up in like a Christian household. So.
Have you ever been to church?
Yeah, loads of times.
When was the last time you went? So if someone was to invite you to church, would you go?
If my schedule allowed.
Yeah, I'd probably say yes, yeah. I mean, maybe.
I'm still atheist, but I'd still come.
That's fun.
Yeah? Okay, thank you.
Oh, how good was that? Come on, let's give it up for the team. Brilliant. It's so good to see you. If you don't know me, my name is Steve. I'm one of the team here. And it's a huge honor to get to talk to you, to continue on this theme that Pastor John launched last week so brilliantly, didn't he? It was a fantastic message taken from Matthew 24, talking about the signs of Jesus coming. How incredible that Jesus could speak 2,000 years ago and predict with such accuracy days like today. How many know the world is going a little bit crazy? If you would agree with that, they said it there on the screen. And so our goal in this series is to recognize the times we are living in. And Pastor John gave us something that we're going to read at the start of every one of these messages. So it's challenging, it's confronting, but I'm going to read it now and I'm going to read it at the end. Hopefully it will come up on the screen. Here's what it is. Jesus Christ is coming back. The world as we know it will end. Those who know Christ will spend eternity in heaven with him. Those who don't will spend eternity in hell. This is not a Soul Church belief. This is what the church has believed for 2,000 years. So whether you're in the room or you're watching in line, this is what we believe. If that is true, then it raises this question. How should we live? How should we live if Jesus is coming back? And so I want to pick up the story right from where Pastor John ended. He preached from Matthew chapter 24. So I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 24. You are brilliant. So everyone grab your Bible if you're watching online. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps but took no oil with them. But the wives took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. And all the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go, get your own oil. Verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready went in with him, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Let's pray. Lord, these are your words, and this is your church. Every one of them is your people. So we ask that you would reveal your truth, not a truth, but your truth, the truth, so that we can live lives that are ready for your return. In Jesus' name, and everyone said in a very English way, amen. Amen. And this sixth section said, amen. Good work. Who's ready to dive in to God's word? You ready? Here we go. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. None of you have been to a first century wedding. None of you. And so, in the first century, if you were a virgin, you would be married on a Wednesday. If you were a widow, it would be on a Thursday. And it always happened at night. It starts when the bridesmaids meet at the house of the bridegroom. Their role is to escort the bridegroom through the streets in a spectacular procession to the bride's home, where they will celebrate their marriage together. Notice this is very different to our weddings, to the last wedding you did, Paula. It's fundamentally different because this time the bridesmaids are looking after the bridegroom. So let me illustrate it. We need a couple of bridesmaids. So on the front row, right there, Summer Hollinger and Georgie. Come on up quick, really quick. I just need you to help me. I'm not going to embarrass you much, but I would like you to come up here. Give them a round of applause as they speedily make their way. And so if you girls just stand there and look beautiful, don't they look beautiful? And what we need is an eligible bridegroom, but we'll get to that in a moment. But actually, Jin, you're on the front row. So come on up here, mate. Get up here, mate. We love you. So right, oh, just stay there at a distance, all right? So your job, girls, their job, if you're a bridesmaid, it's actually very, look, all your attention is on Jin. Which is fair, that's a good theological point, which I'll get to. But for now, I need your attention on the bridesmaids, because they are definitely a lot easier on the eyes than Jin. All right, so here we go. So if you look at the bridesmaids, here was their job. They were given torches. And then they were given, they would have oil and a rag. And what they would do is they would dip the rag into the oil, they'd put it on the torches, and then they would wait for the bridegroom. They had one job. Their job was to hold up the torch. And their single job was to shine the light on the bridegroom when he came. That's the only thing the bridesmaid did. They would cast light so everyone would see just how magnificent the bridegroom is. So give them all a round of applause. And if I can borrow that one, Jin, you take that with you to the front row. Hold it on the front row. That was their job. And so the girls arrive at the house. There's 10 of them. And they're waiting for the bridegroom. And it says, verse 5, but while the bridegroom was delayed, it happens. It's his prerogative. He comes when he's ready. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. Nothing wrong with that. Sometimes you sleep. You get up. There's a delay. But when it's midnight, when the darkness is the thickest, a loud cry is heard. Behold. Whenever you hear the word behold in the Bible, something significant is about to happen. Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. The 10 girls wake up and get ready to meet him. 5 of the girls are sorted. They have their containers of oil. They soak the oil in the rag and they are ready to go because the rag has dried out. And when the rag dries out, the flame burns out. And so you need fresh oil. And these girls are good to go. But the other 5 have a problem. They're wearing the right clothes. They're in the right place. They're in the bridegroom's house. They've even got a lamp. From the outside, they look like they're ready. But there's one thing missing. They have no oil. And if there's no oil, there's no light. How are we meant to live in light of Jesus' return? We live ready for his return, but prepared for his delay. And so how do we do that in practical terms? Let me give you 3 thoughts from this passage. Number 1, you've got to carry your oil. The wise virgins are the extra oil people. They know that they need oil for the long haul, oil to keep the fire burning. They are prepared to wait for the glorious return of the bridegroom. But the foolish 5 only live for now, for the short term. Got the look, the dress, but they've got no oil. You either have it or you don't. If you want to be in it for the long haul, how many know you need the oil of the Holy Spirit? Throughout the Old Testament, oil is a picture of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus taught how important the Holy Spirit is before he was to return. In John 16, it says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking to you online, speaking to you on the front line. I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. How can that be? How can it be advantageous for Jesus to go away? He said, if I don't, the helper will not come to you. Then in verse 8, he says, and when he's come, when the oil comes, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. I'm going away, but don't worry, I'm coming back and I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit and he's going to help you make it for the long haul. Now, when I think of the long haul, I think of flights and airports. Airport Steve. Because when you go to an airport, the first thing you do is you get there early. Give me an amen, somebody. Make notes, daughter and wife. You get there early, you drop your bags. What's the next thing you do? You go through security. And when you go through security, there's a scanner. I think we've got a picture. Nobody tells you what to do, but that picture is there. And it says, you've got to do this. And then there's a whir. And occasionally there's a beep. Because you're carrying something that's harmful. These virgins in this story, they were probably aged 12 to 17. They were young. I became a Christian when I was 13. I was young. I didn't know much. And I was carrying all kinds of stuff. We carry guilt and shame and sin and habits and behaviors. Then you learn to go to church. What's the first thing you got to do? You got to learn to do this. And that's when the Holy Spirit begins to scan your life. And every now and again, you'll hear a beep, beep. Because you're carrying things that could be harmful to your future, harmful to the long term. And then you've got a choice. Are you going to lay it aside? Those habits, that guilt, that shame. Because God wants to, by His Spirit, equip you for the long haul. It says in verse 8 of John 16, when He's come, He will convict the world of sin. He'll reveal it to you. He'll show you the stuff. We've all got it. Every one of us, even the really spiritual looking one that sits next to you, even they have sin in their life. If you want to be in it for the long haul, you've got to allow the Holy Spirit to scan you. You know, that's why being in God's house is so important. That's why it's so important that you learn to do this. You can't bypass it. There's something about worship. There's something about coming together. On Friday night, I was here, and our youth ministry was packed out. The team are doing incredible. And literally, there was so many, there was hundreds of young people at this altar with their arms up. The Holy Spirit was scanning. You could hear the whir. You could see the tears. And you know that God was preparing them for the long haul. That's why in Hebrews 10, 25, it's talking about how to live when Jesus returns. And it says this, it says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's church, as is the manner of some. You know, when I grew up, most people came to church every Sunday. Many of us, twice on a Sunday. Probably 3 years ago, most people came on average once every 2 weeks. Since COVID, the stats tell us that now people come once a month. My problem with that is this scripture says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, so much more as you see the day approaching. So if you see the day approaching, you got to think, I need to be in church. I need to assemble together, because that's what God's word says. Psalm 92 is a great psalm. I love it. It's the psalm they sang when they went up to Jerusalem to celebrate in the temple. It says, those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish. Psalm 92, 13. But it also says this, verse 10b, I have been anointed with fresh oil. Because when you come together, when you come into His presence, that's when the oil begins to flow. He starts to show you the areas you need to change, because otherwise the rag will dry out and the fire will go out. We need to soak in the oil. We need to carry the oil. Allow the Holy Spirit to have His way. And it's not just in church you can do this. You can do this every day. Get your Spotify playlist. Crank it out. Unless you're driving, you probably don't want to do that. But anywhere else, get in the presence of God. Let the oil flow. So number one, you've got to carry the oil. Who's going to carry their oil? Number two, you've got to steward your oil. Verse 8. The foolish five realize, flip, we haven't got any oil. There's no fire. I know what we'll do. We'll nick some off the wise ones. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, because our lamps going out. Be careful of anyone or anything that will soak up or steal your oil. When you have enough oil, you'll attract those who don't. And they'll want to take your oil. For every wise bridesmaid, there's a foolish bridesmaid looking to steal what you have stewarded. Don't be so nice that you say yes to a fool. Because you need to steward your oil. You need to build up some reserves. Because when you start building your marriage, you thought it was going to be all bells and whistles. Then you got married and you were confronted with your own selfishness. And all of a sudden you realize this is going to take a lot more energy and work than I realized. You're going to need some oil for that. You're going to need some oil to raise your kids. You're going to need some oil to build your business. So you're going to make sure nobody steals your oil. The foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying a word that is incredibly important. A word that some of you don't know how to say, but you need to learn how to say. The wise answered and said the word. If you're going to be successful in carrying your oil and stewarding your oil, you need to learn to say no. You can't be a wise virgin and not learn to say no. If someone is foolish enough to waste their oil, what do you think they'll do with your oil? And you're so busy being nice that you're saying yes to a fool. The Holy Spirit comes alongside you and he teaches you how to do the right thing. John 16:8, when he comes, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness. He deals with your sin, that's the wrong stuff, but he also teaches you how to do the right thing, that's righteousness. So when, speaking to all the girls, when some fool starts getting a bit fresh, thinks he has the ministry of laying on of hands, and the Holy Spirit scanner goes off. It says, don't let him touch you. What do you say? No. When that person who's not a Christian tries to persuade you to go out with them, the Holy Spirit says, they're not the right one for you. What do you say? No. When you feel discouraged, depressed, and a little voice says, go back to that substance. It'll help you. What do you say? No. You know, sometimes in life, it's not just the bad things you've got to say no to. I remember when I was 18. I loved my golf. I know that's a surprise to you, isn't it? I've told this story before, but I'd never played on a Sunday. I always played on a Saturday, and I won a competition, and it meant that the second part, the regional final, was on a Sunday. And I remember that I'd enrolled on this because it was a big deal, and I was brushing my teeth before that morning. I know I'd let my mum and dad down. They didn't want me to play, but I was a bit stubborn. And I'm brushing my teeth, and then the Holy Spirit said, Sundays aren't for playing golf. Sundays are for me. And he scanned me, and the alarm went off. And I'm so glad, at the age of 18, I said no, and I pulled out. I'm so glad that I've established a principle that has helped me throughout my life, helped my marriage, helped my kids, that Sunday is church day. If you want wisdom, you've got to learn to say no. Verse 9, but the wise answered. So they've asked for some oil. Go on, give us some of your oil. The wise answered, say no. lest there should be not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell, and go and buy your own oil. Now, did anybody read this the first time and think, well, that's not very nice? These wise virgins are a little bit mean, a little bit unchristian. Or maybe the wise virgins understood the purpose of the oil. See, the purpose of the oil is so when the bridegroom comes, there's a fire so people can see how incredible he is. The purpose of the oil is to lift him up in the darkness so that everybody can see, look at him, he is amazing. This was not the wise virgins being selfish and thinking about themselves and how good they are. This is them thinking, no, the purpose of the oil is not about me and it's not about you. It's about him. It's to make sure we magnify him. It's to make sure we glorify him. So I'm not going to give something to you that could rob his glory and his majesty. And they said no. You see, that's our job, church. The purpose of the oil is so that we can be light in the darkness and shine on him and make him look glorious. It's not enough to have the oil, carry the oil, or steward the oil. We have to use it for the purpose for which it's designed, which is him. So that people can see how wonderful and magnificent he is. How are you living? How are you using your oil? It says in John 16, verse 13 and 14, it says, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he'll guide you into all truth. Verse 14, he will glorify me. That's what the Holy Spirit always does. Not glorify me, but glorify Jesus. To be a true follower of Jesus is to make sure our lives are given and devoted to glorifying and ensuring that people see him. That's why our worship leaders are not trying to draw attention to themselves. They're trying to magnify the name of the Lord Jesus, because he's the one who can help you. He is the one who can save you. The older I get, the less interested I am in impressing you or entertaining you from this pulpit, the more I want to present to you Jesus so you can see him as he is and how magnificent and glorious he is. Because that's the purpose of the oil. Can you imagine what would happen, Soul Church, if this week every single one of us, every one of us, got our torches and said, this week we are going to live our lives in such a way that we are going to go into those same dark streets where people are afraid and confused, and we're going to lift up a light so our city can see Jesus, so our schools can see Jesus, so our colleges can see Jesus. Are you using your oil? You can use your oil with simple things like calendars. Simple things like sharing the link to our services. Let the worship team come. Let's make sure we're not like the five that didn't use their oil. See this verse, verse 10, I don't know whether to celebrate or weep when I read it to you. Because those five foolish virgins, they went. They were desperate to get their oil. They went looking for it. It says in verse 10, and while they went, the bridegroom came. And those who were ready They went in to the wedding. Wow. The table was set. The food was incredible. It was magnificent. It's the celebration to end all celebrations, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And what a day is ahead of us. Rolly's enjoying it now. My mum's enjoying it now. It's the feast of all feasts. What a hope, what a comfort it gives us. The great hope. Five went in. Then it says, and the door was shut. They missed him. They weren't ready. They weren't prepared. They weren't carrying their oil. So the door was closed. The start of this message, we read this simple truth. Jesus Christ is coming back. The world as we know it, it'll end. The door will be shut. Those who know Christ will spend eternity in heaven celebrating. Those who don't know him spend eternity in hell. When I was at Bible college in 1989, I had a friend called Chris, and his brother was called Andy, and I knew him too. And he was a Baptist minister in Luton. It's a great church. It was growing, stacks of young people. Youth ministry was growing, the church was flourishing. And I really admired this guy called Andy. When I heard him speak, he told a story. He was walking down Luton High Street, Saturday morning, at his Costa. And then there was a scene, a shocking scene. It was a young man, 17 years of age, been in a relationship, it ended. He got depressed, turned to drugs, and his life hit rock bottom in the middle of Luton High Street. He doused himself in petrol, set fire to himself. Nandy was one of the first on the scene. Came over to this young man. They rolled him, put out the fire, and Andy held him. This guy was in a lot of pain, groaning. And he looked up at Andy and he said, "Aren't you the minister from the church?" And Andy said, "I am, but hang on, mate. The ambulance is coming. You're going to make it." He went quiet. Then the young man said, "I used to come." After a pause, he said these words. He said, "I wish I'd listened now. I wish I'd listened." As a church, we don't focus on hell. I very rarely talk about it, if I'm honest. But Jesus did. Place of fire. Place of regret. Where I suspect that people will think, "I wish I'd listened now." The good news is the door is still open. How can you live ready for Jesus' return. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 9, he said, I am the door. Whether you get in or out is decided by Jesus. By Jesus only. He said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, you'll be saved and you'll go in and you'll find pasture and it's going to be an incredible life. But there's a thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But I've come to open the gate so that you can have life, and life in all of its fullness. What a great story. The door is still open. And Jesus is here in this room, speaking to you in this section, and in this section, and in this section. And people listening or watching online, he's speaking to you. Let me ask you, are you ready? Are you prepared for his return? The story finishes in Matthew 25, 11 and 12. It says, afterwards, the foolish five that had gone looking to buy some oil, says they came saying, Lord, open to us. Let us in. But the door is closed. He said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Say, Steve, isn't it about me knowing Jesus? No. It's about whether Jesus knows you. I know the Queen. I went to her house, dressed up, had all the right clothes. I was in the right place. But did the Queen know me? Not a chance. It's not enough to know about Jesus. Question is, does he know you? Do you spend time with him? Is your life committed to him for the long haul? Is the desire of your heart to serve him and honor and magnify and glorify him? Because if it is, you're going to live forever with him. So as we stand together quietly, let's all stand together. Let me ask you one final time. This could be the most important question anyone will ever ask you. Are you known by Jesus? Are you in a right relationship? Because friend, he is coming, or you're gonna die, and either way, you need to be ready. You say, Steve, how do I get right with God? How do I get in this relationship? It starts with a first step. And that first step is a prayer. It's the greatest prayer you'll ever pray, where you say, Jesus, I'm sorry for living my way. I want to choose to live for you. And that's the first of many steps. It's a commitment, a lifetime commitment to say, Jesus, I've stuffed it up living for myself. From this day on, I'm going to live for you. I wonder how many people are in this room, and you know that you need to pray this prayer. You need to be known by Jesus. It would be the greatest privilege for me to lead you in that prayer. So here's what I'd love us all to do, from the front to the back. Would you close your eyes? Friend, this is between you and God. Jesus wants to get to know you. And he's here right now, speaking to your heart, saying, this is your moment to get right with me. If you say, Steve, I know I need to get right with God. I need to pray that prayer. When I count to three, I'm going to ask you to simply slip up your hand high enough and long enough so that I can see it. Then you can put it back down. All across this room, I'm believing people are going to get right with God. So when I count to three, you raise your hand, then we're all going to pray that prayer. Are you ready? He is here to meet with you, to change your life. Are you ready? 1, 2, 3. That's it. Just lift up your hand. Thank you. 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 Thank you over there. Thank you at the back. Thank you over there. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, let's lift it up. Let's thank God that people online, people in the room. See your hand, beautiful. I'm going to ask you all to put your hands down. I invited you to take that first step, which is a prayer, which we're going to pray. But it's the first of many steps. And I'm going to ask you to have some courage. I'm going to ask you in a moment, we're going to sing a song, a beautiful song about surrendering to Jesus. I'm going to invite you to step out of your seat. I want you to turn to a friend, someone you came with, and say, would you come with me? I'm going to invite you as we sing this song to come and stand at the front, because I'd love to shake your hand, congratulate you, and then we're all going to pray together. Our church are going to be cheering you on. So if you raise your hand, if you want to get right with God, then come on, as we sing, you come out, you come forward. The family, we're all, every one of us in the church, we're going to pray a prayer, and I'm going to invite you guys at the front to repeat this and mean it from your heart. This is your moment to connect with God. So repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for me, to forgive all my sins and failures, so that I can have a brand new start. Please come into my life and help me by the power of the Holy Spirit to trust and live for you. Amen. Father, every one of these people is precious to you. Every single one of them. So right now, would you have your way in their lives? Holy Spirit, would you come in and change them forever? May this be the first of many steps that they take to serve you and honor you all the days of their lives. In Jesus' name. In just a moment, some of the team are gonna help you. But before we do that, I want us all as a church, including everyone at the front, but I want us all to take a moment of readiness. Because when you step into that airport, if you wanna go in for the long haul, first thing you see is this. You say, Holy Spirit, would you show me the areas of my life I need to say yes? Show me the areas I need to say no. I want to be ready. Some of you, God wants to lose some of that guilt, lose some of that shame. But why don't we just allow the Holy Spirit to have his way? In our church, you won't find many rules. But here's the rule you will find. Allow the Holy Spirit to highlight the things in your life, and whatever he tells you to do, do it, because that's going to help you. So why don't we sing this beautiful song about surrender one more time? I'm going to invite everyone. Come on, why don't we get in that scanner and lift up our hands and say, in this few moments, Holy Spirit, show us what you want us to do. Spirit, give us the courage to do whatever you want us to do. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to reflect him more accurately, serve him more faithfully. So would you take every vessel, fill them afresh with your oil, send them out into our city to be a light and to shine the light on you, Jesus. We give ourselves to you afresh. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Beautiful. I'm going to hand over to Pastor John. Here's what we're going to do. Guys, we want to give you all a gift at the front, and we want to just take your details, make sure we can help you take the next step. And so over there, we've got, there's Matt. He's a good looking lad. Just, if all of you could go in there, it literally will only take a couple of minutes. They'll give you a Bible. And as they go in church, come on, why don't we put our hands together and celebrate? Go and see Matt and the team. They won't keep you for long.
What a sight to see both sides of this altar packed with people finding Jesus. Third service in a row this has happened last week, and it's going to continue happening. You know, this is, I believe we're going to literally be overwhelmed by people finding Jesus over these next few months. And in our new building, one of the things we've built is a chapel. For if I was standing in the new building, to my left, to your right, there's actually a chapel, and it can seat 60 or 70 people, and it's built for when people find Jesus, they're going to head straight into the chapel where the team will be waiting, because at the moment they're heading into like a supermarket storage room where there's cabbage and Bibles, because we're kind of multifunctional rooms. But in our new building, it's going to be a beautiful chapel, some sort of familiar surroundings. What a sight it's going to be to see every week people finding Jesus in the chapel. And I'm telling you, there has never been a more exciting day to be part of church than right now. And we're going to see, and I really believe that we are recognizing the times we're living in. People, we need church. And all I could say is, if you have friends that don't know Jesus, what are you waiting for? Because that could be your brother, your sister, your son, your daughter, your parent standing here next week. The only thing that's stopping them is us. They're one invitation away. We heard on that video before, why I'm making these crazy little videos is, have you ever known a time where an atheist would say, I'll come? I mean, when I grew up, an atheist wouldn't want anything to do with church. Now it's like, it's an easy win. It's like, we bring hope, good news. They want to hear about it. Who knows what could happen? I think we need to thank Steve for a phenomenal, phenomenal message. Part two of Recognizing the Times. Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in. If you said yes to Jesus today by saying the salvation prayer, we'd love for you to email connections@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision you've just made. And if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, head to soulchurch.com. And don't forget to stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching @SoulChurchUK. Take care and God bless.